Hello and welcome to the Crowley Souls Podcast. Listen and look at. Souls Podcast. I will be talking today on fulfilling God's purpose for you. It's a continuation of the series, God's Purpose for You. Let us pray. Father, we ask for it, that your word impart us this moment as that we listen to your word. We ask for direction. We ask for wisdom. We ask that we are transformed, that our minds are renewed and we are changed and impacted by your word this moment in Jesus' name. That we have a genuine encounter with your word and that it brings good fruit out of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Fulfilling God's purpose for you. In our previous session, we talked about understanding and, you know, believing God's purpose for you, where we talked about the apostles and how they were about losing sight of God's purpose for them and were about going back into fishing, and how Jesus went after them to restore them and got them into believing his purpose for them. And today we'll be starting by reading from Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come on you, and you shall be witnesses to me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." Amen. Now, you see that Jesus is talking to the apostle here after his resurrection and after he's about to ascend finally. He begins to talk to them about receiving power, and he much more begins to talk to them about a global ministry, talks to them about being a witness of him in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. And how will Jesus pick these people who were timid and discouraged, were just about returning into their old source of living and livelihood, and begin to talk to them about something this big and global and serious? And you see that he is able to build on a foundation that he had laid there earlier on, which was a foundation of making them believe his purpose for them. And so after that, he moves them forward into commissioning them for that purpose that he had in mind for them. And he begins to talk to them about receiving power for this work, for this fulfillment of purpose, after the Holy Ghost has come on them, and that they shall be witnesses of him, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And you see how Jesus progressively gives them, you know, the jurisdiction or the geographical location for their purpose fulfillment. And one thing we can draw from this progressiveness is that Jesus picks it from their immediate environment, because at that moment the disciples were in Jerusalem. So he picks it from their immediate environment and extends it to the capital of the country, and, you know, by extension, he begins to extend it to their neighboring countries, and then he begins to extend it to other parts of the world. Okay, and so you must understand that in fulfilling God's purpose for you, you don't necessarily have to start by holding the microphone and standing before millions of people. You can start with your family. Wow, because fulfilling God's purpose for you is primarily impacting people's lives and not just impacting people's life and giving them good gifts, and paying their school fees and doing philanthropic works, but actually making their life count in God's eternal plan of salvation, that is bringing them to receive salvation and growing in the same, and also coming to a point where they also now begin to bring other people into salvation. And so we can summarily say that you are fulfilling God's purpose for you when you are being a witness of Jesus Christ, either in words or in deeds, either in your actions or in your words, that is in preaching the gospel. Okay. Now, Jesus began to, talk to them about going to the world to preach the gospel and raise disciples for him, with miracles, with signs and wonders for him. And what will make ordinary men who were so afraid, who were so timid, and who were just, just children, and who are just normal people, become people who will be so bold and without telling the world about Jesus, who will be so bold about telling the world about Jesus, who's so bold about sharing the gospel, and then just talking about it, working miracles and doing those kind of stuff? What will make these people transform into this kind of persons that Jesus was talking about? What will make them transform into this is what he was talking about in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Power. 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 We'll portray more of that as we go on. But then I want us to understand that what Jesus was saying in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 does not just apply to the apostles alone. It applies to everyone who is a child of God. Some people would say, oh, Jesus was only saying the apostles should go and be witnesses of him. And by extension, you find some people who say, oh, yeah, we're given the same ministry of going to be witnesses of him, but we don't have to go and heal the sick like the apostles did. We don't have to speak in tongues today like the apostles did. I put it to you today that we wouldn't need power, because we would see further down that the word power here is dunamis, and that same power was translated miracle in some parts of the scriptures, especially in the gospels. That's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. That same power was translated. That same word power, which is dunamis, was translated miracles. And so the power here is supernatural power, supernatural ability to work miracles, to do supernatural things. All right. And so he was saying to them that they would receive power and be witnesses of him. And so today we are also supposed to be the witnesses of him in the same measure, okay, as the apostles did. And even better than they did. All right. And how did they do that? They did that powerfully by the power of God. I'm also not saying that you have to be a pastor and have to, have a congregation and stuff like that. No. What God is saying here is that the primary essence of your life, the primary reason of your life should be to witness Jesus. So when we ask you, are you alive? Your answer is, I'm alive to witness Jesus to people, to just reveal the love of Christ and his power to people around me. All right. And to back that up, I would like us to read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 to 19. Verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Verse 18, all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, did you notice that it says, if any man be in Christ? And so, any man who is in Christ is a new creature. And if you are a new creature, he has given unto you the ministry of reconciliation. Now, Apostle Paul talking here is the way we can understand this is that he's talking about identification. And so I'll try my best to explain what he's saying here. Now, when Apostle Paul sees if any man, he's not just talking about gender. He's not saying every male, if any male be in Christ. No, he's saying if any human be in Christ, he's a new creature. Now, the term in Christ is identification. When you go back to Genesis chapter 1, after God created man, God said, let us create man in our own image. And so after God created man, that is Adam, now, it was from Adam that he now created Eve. And then by the coming together of Adam and Eve, there's the production of other human beings. And so every one of us have our source in Adam. Okay, and so we can simply put it that every one of us came out of Adam. And so when God was addressing Adam at that point in time, he was addressing every one of us. Why? Because at that time, we were all still in Adam. In Genesis chapter 2, okay, and 3. So, by extension, the Bible calls Jesus Christ the last Adam. Okay? The Bible calls Jesus the last Adam. And what that means is that a new genealogy starts from Jesus Christ. A new kind of creation, a new kind of creature of humans starts from Jesus Christ. And one thing that is peculiar about these people is that they are children of God. Okay, having the nature and the life of God. Okay, but where I'm really driving at here is that every one of these creatures have received a ministry, and that ministry is called the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, now reconciliation simply means, it's from the word to reconcile. Okay, it simply means you are reconciling people. So it means that some people were at conflict, and so you come to bring them together to resolve the conflict. Okay. So reconciliation in this context would mean reconciling people to God. Okay, it would mean what? To reconcile people to God. Why? Because the Bible says it further down in verse 19, it says to we that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So when Jesus was there on the cross, dying for our sins, it was God reconciling the world to himself. Okay, because in the fall of Adam, all men became alienated from God. Why? Because in Adam, all sinned. Okay, in Adam's disobedience, all, you know, were disobeyed. Why? Because at that point we were all still in Adam. And so the same way in Christ's obedience, okay, all of us, by believing in Jesus Christ, okay, we can be saved. We can be saved. And so first it says the ministry of reconciliation, and then in verse 19 it says the word of reconciliation. The word of reconciliation. Now, so if you are a child of God, then you have a ministry and you have a responsibility. And that responsibility is to reconcile men to God. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you do what Jesus did again, which was that Jesus Christ died. No, it is that you preach what Jesus Christ did to people. And so by people believing, okay, they can be saved. And so when people believe, they identify with what Jesus did. Okay. And so, for example, when I believed the gospel, I simply believed that Jesus Christ died for my sins. Okay. And what that means was that when Jesus was being nailed on the cross, it was as though I was the one who was being nailed to the cross. Just like when Adam was cursed and sent out of the garden, it was as though we were not also were cursed and sent out of the garden for being disobedient, for walking in unbelief, in the sin of unbelief. Okay. Now, Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 19 that for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And that one man that is being talked about here is Adam, okay, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3 and chapter 3. And he says, so by obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So the obedience of the other one is Jesus Christ. Okay, and what was that obedience? He died. He died and was buried. And he came back to life to third day. God raised him back to life to third day for our justification. Okay. Now, so there is a responsibility for you to preach that gospel. Okay, just like when I believed that he died for my sins, it was put into my account that I also have died for my sins. I also have paid the price for my sins. So because Jesus paid the price for my sins, I have fully paid the price for my sins. And so I do not have to pay the price for my sins again. And what is the price for sin? It is death. Okay, the wages of sin is what? Is death. Okay. And the gift of God is what? Eternal life to Christ our Lord. Romans 6 and verse 23. Now, then he says that, then he talks about the word of reconciliation. The word of reconciliation. What is the word of reconciliation? The word of reconciliation is the gospel. Okay. So we fulfill the ministry of reconciliation by going about preaching the gospel, which is the word of reconciliation. Okay. Now, did you notice that the Bible says any man in verse 17, if any man be in Christ? And so, as long as you are a child of God, as long as you are saved, you have a responsibility to preach the word of reconciliation. And preaching the word of reconciliation is your ministry. Okay. And that ministry is what is called the ministry of reconciliation. We were made a new creature, with divine nature and capability so that we can take up the responsibility of reconciling others to God. We were washed from our sins, we were cleansed from our sins, we were made temples of the Most High God, okay, indwelt by the Spirit of God so that we can fulfill this purpose. That purpose is to bring other people to this reality, to be saved. The new creature, is a kind of human race that did not exist until the resurrection of Jesus. And he is God's workmanship. He's God's handwork. Okay, he's God's masterpiece. That new creature is a man that was created in God. That new creature is you. If you are born again, that new creature is I. I'm talking to you because I am born again. Okay. And that new creature does not spiritually identify with Adam, the first Adam, as his source. Okay, he identifies with the second Adam, which is Jesus Christ, as his source. So our spiritual source, our spiritual progeny starts from Jesus Christ. And not just Jesus Christ at the cross, but Jesus Christ at resurrection. Bible calls him the first fruits from the dead. Okay, speaking of the first kind, the first of his kind, to be raised to life from death. Okay, and that is the man we have in Christ Jesus, and that is the man that we have become in Christ Jesus. Okay, now the new creature, you know, is a kind of human race. Okay, and he's God's workmanship, he's God's handwork. Ephesians 2 verse 10. And he was created, you know, was created in Christ Jesus unto good works, you know, which God had predestined him to walk in them. So one peculiar thing about, you know, this new creature is that he's the nature, he has the nature of God. He's created in the image of God. And this man can comprehend the things of God. You know, he has capability to comprehend the things of God. He has capability to be in relationship with God, to commune with God, to talk to God and hear from God. Okay? And because he is now one with God, God now dwells in him. And this man now, he can develop an intimate relationship with God. He can fellowship and commune with God. He can talk to God. And God can talk to him, and he can hear the voice of God. Now, please, we have to note that the new creature includes both male and female. Okay, it's not just a male. It's us who are in Christ, you know. And the new creature is God's likeness, you know. It's God's carbon copy. He has the nature of God, you know. That nature that detests sin, that nature that hates sin. He has that nature. Okay. And now when we're talking about the new creature, we're talking about, first of all, the spirit man. Okay. Why? Because man is spirit, soul, and body. Okay. And so the change that happened when you became a child of God, that means you became born again, became born anew. Okay. Was first and foremost in your inner man. Okay, why? Because you have a spirit that indwells this body. Okay, and so when we talk about that, we're talking about your spirit being regenerated. Your spirit that was dead to God now became alive to God, now became one with God. Okay, and so you became a new person entirely. You received a new spirit. So there was a death, and then now there's a newness of life. And that is the resurrection of your spirit, man. And that is why you would realize that the day you got saved, your spirit, it was your spirit, man, or your inner man that became born again, you know, and began to have God's nature and DNA. Although the day you got saved, your body stayed the same. So if you were not tall, and so after you got born again, you did not grow taller. That day or that instant that you got born again, or you did not get taller because you became born again, okay? Did not increase in your size. You did not have a change of, you know, skin color the day you got sick or the moment you got sick. The instantaneous thing that happened was in your spirit, man, was on the inside of you. And some of us can attest to the fact that we felt a joy. And, you know, a natural joy welled up on the inside of us. Some for us, it was a peace that welled up on the inside of us. And that was just a confirmation to our soul that something has happened, you know, in our spirit, man. And you must understand that your mindset also did not change the day you got saved. Your mind did not, you know, completely change the day you got born again. Yes, you realize that you were a sinner and you had a change of mind in that direction to not continue to be a sinner. You have to understand that you did not forget the things that you knew before you came born again. Okay, so if you were a doctor, things you learned in school were still intact in your head, you know, even though you were born again. So when we talk about being born again, that speaks first of your spirit. Of your spirit, man. Okay, and that's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, you know, but Paul talks about being transformed by the renewal of your mind, being not conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewal of your mind. And so there will be no need for the renewal of your mind if your mind already became born again. So it was your spirit man that became born again. And so our body also will experience this salvation, but it will be at, the resurrection, and that is also called at the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, where those that are sleeping, the Lord will be resurrected back with this new, with a new incorruptible body. Okay, I wouldn't want to go too into much details about that, so I don't digress too much from the topic of discuss, which is fulfilling God's purpose for you. Okay, so although your body stayed the same, you have to understand that you became a new man in your spirit man. And so the new creature has three major responsibilities, and which are to have an intimate relationship with God and to love people, around with selfless love of God, and to reign in life, above circumstances and above the devil. And you see, the word ministry in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and this, even when he says that he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, that word refers to service, it refers to actual work, okay? And this ministry of reconciliation is simply the work of ministering the word of reconciliation, which is the gospel. And every other thing done aside this, it's just to complement this ministry. So whether it is teaching, whether it is being a prophet or apostle, a pastor, or financial partner with Christian ministries, these all point towards either reconciling men to God or training people to God and reconcile men to God. And this is God's purpose for you. You only need to find your specific role in this broad work. Okay, so it's God's purpose for you to be a blessing to people, to share the good news with people, to share the good news of God's Christ's resurrection. Why? Because, like I explained earlier, reconciling the world to God means you are preaching the gospel to them. And the moment they believe the gospel, they become reconciled to God in the sense that they become part of God. Okay, and becoming one, having his nature in their spirit. This is very profound. This is really profound, because when you tell people about the gospel, you are saving them from eternal damnation. And it's as though some people will never be saved until you preach the gospel to them. And when you understand this responsibility, it gives you a sense of urgency, and it gives you a sense of responsibility towards how you spend your money. You would begin to prioritize more the things of God. And you see, personally for me, when you check my spendings, you would realize that my priority goes more to spendings related to furthering the gospel, spendings related to enhancing the spread of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And by these, I'm not saying you have to be an evangelist or you have to be the owner of the church or stand before like thousands and millions of people to speak the word of God to them. Like we started earlier, it can just be in your family. Talk to people, talk to your children, talk to your spouse, talk to your siblings about the gospel and start from there. All right. And share the gospel to them. And, by extension, in understanding the fulfillment of your purpose, you must understand that your purpose, for us to say that, oh, we are fulfilling God's purpose for your life, it must be around these things. It must be doing these things. It must be either bringing people, reconciling people to God, or enhancing activities that cause that to happen, All right. And so you have to identify what your purpose is. Some people are givers, okay, they partner with ministries and missionaries to get the gospel across. If you have the resources, the financial resources to do that, it's fine. But it should not replace you actually participating in preaching the gospel. Okay. And by extension, as the time goes on, you also have a responsibility to invest in those people that are being brought to Christ. Okay. You have a responsibility to invest in people that have been brought to Christ, that have been brought into Christianity. And so you must be vigilant. You must be up and running. Okay. You have to understand what your role is. Are you gonna be glancing like Paul? Or are you gonna be watching like Apollos, like Apollos? Or are you just gonna be financing like Mary Magdalene? God's purpose for you must find root in the scriptures that you are a witness of Jesus Christ. That is, you are actively representing or have an active proof of Jesus Christ's resurrection, okay, from the dead. And you see, prior to Acts chapter 1, verse 8 that we read earlier, Jesus had begun to, speak to the apostles in Luke 24, verse 48 to 49, where he spoke to them about being endued with power from on high after he sends the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit under them. And why is Jesus so emphatic on power? Okay, why is he so emphatic on power? You see, the word power in as used in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 from the word Greek word dunamis. Why? Because the Bible, especially the New Testament text, Matthew to Revelation, were originally written not in English but in the Greek, word, okay, in Greek language rather. And in the original Greek language, that was translated to power is the word dunamis, which means ability. Okay, and it was the same word that was translated virtue in Luke 8, verse 46, where we have the story of the woman who was sick, and that sickness caused blood to keep flowing out of her body, and she got healed immediately. She touched Jesus Christ, the hem of his garment, and that he was wearing on that day. And when she did that, and she touched Jesus Christ and got healed immediately, Jesus Christ said he knew that something like a virtue had flown out of him. And the word translated virtue in that place is the word dunamis as well. And that word means miraculous power. It means miraculous power. Right now, I declare to you who is listening to me right now and has a sickness in your body, I release the power of God. I release the miraculous power of God into your body right now, and I declare you are healed now. Be healed now. Be healed now. Be healed. In Jesus' name, amen. And now the word dunamis signifies supernatural ability. Now, if you received your healing right now, just try and do what you couldn't do before. If it was a pain, try and check that and see if it is gone. If you need to go for a medical test, go and check it. The power of God is released into your body, and you are healed right now. You are healed right now. You are healed right now. Amen. Okay, and our purpose as Christians is, summarily, to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. Like I said earlier, witnesses of Jesus are people who tell others about Jesus, either by talking to those people about Jesus or demonstrating Jesus Christ to them. And to tell others about Jesus means to preach the gospel to them. And to preach the gospel to them is to tell them the good news of his crucifixion and his burial and his resurrection and his ascension to the right hand of God. Now, you see, the background story to Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is that when Jesus resurrected, a lot of Jews and Pharisees and People in those days did not believe that Jesus Christ was from the dead. There was a lie that our superstition that was being fabricated that Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead. And that superstition was that, oh, the apostles came very early in the morning to steal his body away. You see, and so to convince these people that Jesus Christ is alive, you need much more than just telling them that Jesus Christ is alive. There needs to be some supernatural demonstrations in that regard. And that is why Jesus said, they shall receive power. And that doesn't just apply to them in those days. Today, you still need the power of God to demonstrate to people. You see, the very essence of the power of God is to meet needs. The very essence of the power of God is to meet needs. And by meeting needs, I'm talking categorically about needs that are beyond human capacity. Okay, we are talking about diseases that medicine has not found solutions to. We are talking about situations, frustrations in life that no motivational book, or speaker can help you get out of. You know, we're talking about impossible situations. There are people who have found themselves in such situations. And you see, the answer to such people's situations, to the questions in the heart of such people is simply Jesus. It's simply Jesus. You see, when Jesus comes into your life, when Jesus comes into the equation, he makes your life beautiful. The earlier you realize it's better. Jesus comes into your life to make your life beautiful. He doesn't come to your life to make it miserable. I mean, he makes your life beautiful. And it's not his will for you to suffer from any sickness or ailment. It's not his will for you to live a life of frustration and anxiety and depression and sorrow and emptiness. No, Jesus Christ is the solution. Again, and when you receive Jesus into your life, what you have, what you are supposed to have, is kind of life. And when you look through the scriptures, you look at the life of Jesus, the things that we see in his life and things that we ought to see in your life. And so there's a problem when you are not healing the sick. There is something wrong somewhere, and most times it's a knowledge problem. The believer, a child of God, does not have any problem. And most times what the believer has is a knowledge problem. Again, I'm jumping ahead of myself here. And now let's go back to scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15, from verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brothers, I declare you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you have received wherein you stand." Now, look at this. "I declare to you the gospel which I preached." Now, what is the gospel that he preached? Okay. Now, this is Apostle Paul talking. "By which also you were saved." Now, this gospel that he preached was the one through which the Corinthians were saved. "If you keep in memory what I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. Okay, for I delivered." Now, he begins to explain the gospel to them. "First of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." Now, that's the gospel. "And he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." And so that is the gospel. And so when you want to get anybody saved, this is what you have to tell them. This is what they have to believe. This is what they have to confess, that Jesus Christ died for their sins and was buried. See, as simple as this statement sounds, it is the crux of Christianity. It is the crux of our faith in Christianity. The gospel is God's good news for the entire human race. Jesus has paid the debt price for our sins. And by believing in him and confessing him as Lord, we will be saved from having to die for our sins again. You know, death in this context speaks primarily of spiritual death and to the spiritual separation from God. And, you know, it points to where a man's spirit is not connected or is not united to God anymore and cannot comprehend the things of God. Remember in Genesis chapter 1, when God wanted to create vegetations. That is the grass, the trees, and plants. What did he see? He spoke to the ground. He spoke to the ground and said to the ground, begin to produce herbs. And he begins to talk to the ground and says, begin to produce vegetations. And the vegetations today come out from the ground. And also he wanted to create the fish. What did he do? He spoke to the waters and told the waters to bring forth live creatures from the waters, aquatic creatures from the waters. Okay. And did you notice that when God wanted to create man, he turned to himself and said, let us make man in our own image. He says, let's make man in our own image. He turns to himself and talks to himself, and he began to create man, forming him from the dust of the earth. And after doing that, he breathed into his nostrils, you know, and by doing that, he made man a living soul. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Meaning that we came out of God. Man came out of God. And just like the fish came out of the water, they cannot survive outside water. Just like plants came out of the ground. When you uproot a plant from the ground, what happens? It dies. And so when Adam sinned, and what was Adam sin? Unbelief. Okay. When Adam sinned, unbelief or disobedience, he became separated from God spiritually. Okay. And what happened was that he died. And that gave room, you know, for him to be enslaved to sin. And when you're enslaved to sin, when you keep working for sin, when you're subject to sin, sin will pay you with death, more and more death. Okay. And that death that happened in the spirit began to spread all through across to his soul, that is his mind, his consciousness, his emotions, and it spread across even to his body. And then we begin to have all sorts of sicknesses, emotional sicknesses and physical sicknesses. Those things came in as a result of one man's disobedience. Okay. Adam's disobedience. Okay. And what Jesus does is that he supplies grace. He supplies grace because we're seeing about grace abounds much more. Okay. And by believing in Jesus, we become identified. Okay, with Jesus Christ, and we become people who have paid the price for sin and are no longer enslaved to sin. Therefore, we have eternal life as our reward, or as God's gift to us rather, in place of death. Amen. Now you see, this continues to be man's state, you know, until the redemptive works of Jesus. Okay. And what is that state? That state of being vulnerable to corruption, infirmities, and death. And that state was the state that we all came into as a result of Adam's sin. And, you know, this continues to be our man's state, human being state. Any man that is not in Christ, this is their state until the redemptive work of Christ, you know, was fulfilled and the price of sin was fully paid. You know, today, it is by believing the gospel that we can benefit from the redemptive works of Jesus and be saved from the gospel. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Okay. The gospel is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. To them that believe. So how will people believe the gospel unless they hear it? How will they hear it unless someone preaches it to them? You know, we cannot afford to substitute this ministry of reconciliation with something else. We cannot substitute it with philanthropism. We cannot substitute it with, you know, with not working miracles. We cannot substitute it with just building church buildings. It is the gospel, and it must remain the gospel. Why? Because it is the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. These things are good, philanthropism, doing good things and giving people gifts and scholarships and all. These things are good, but they must not replace the gospel, because it is the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. Okay? It's the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. And so these things are good, but the majority is the actual ministry of reconciliation, which is preaching the word of God, preaching specifically the word of reconciliation, which is the gospel. Now, Romans chapter 1 and verse 15 says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall what? Lead by faith." Can I invite you to come out of your timidity today? Can you take up your duty in being a witness of Jesus and preach the gospel? Yeah, it's as simple as that. Just go preach, tell people about Jesus, demonstrate his love to people. And can you just stop being ashamed of preaching the gospel? For in your preaching of the gospel has God put his power into salvation. It is as though there are certain people who will not hear the gospel all their lifetime if you do not preach it to them. It is as though these people will miss the chance of being saved and be doomed to perish if you do not preach. The requirement for being a minister of reconciliation is, to be a new creature, like we mentioned earlier, and that is to be born again. The requirement to being a new creature is to believe the gospel. You do not need to be a pastor or a bishop or a missionary or a priest to preach the gospel. You just have to be a new creature. Being a new creature is to be born again. Okay? You must note that you need more than just self-motivation to step out. Okay, and be consistent and successful in the fulfillment of your purpose. We have to get this straight. You need much more than motivation and self-determination. When it's God's purpose for your life, you need supernatural ability and strength. And that is what Jesus was talking about in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. You see, all these things were supplied unto you, and that's the good news. Power was supplied unto you the moment you received the Holy Spirit. You received the Holy Spirit the moment you believed the gospel and you're saved. So this means you cannot fulfill God's purpose for your life without the supernatural power that the Holy Spirit supplies to you. Did you know this in Acts chapter 2? Okay, that after the Holy Ghost came upon the apostles, they were all able, okay, to pray boldly, to pray, okay, and to boldly preach the gospel. It says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come on you, and you shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." Now, there were two major things that Jesus gave to the apostles after his resurrection to equip them for their purpose. The first was revelational teachings from scriptures, about himself. This addressed their own belief, like we mentioned earlier in our series, how he addressed their own belief and was preparing their heart to receive the Holy Ghost. The second was that the Holy Spirit was given to them. Jesus Christ gave the Holy Spirit to the apostles after the revelation teaching that prepared them to understand and believe his purpose for them. He gave them the Holy Spirit to enable them to do things required of them in fulfilling God's purpose. So today we receive the Holy Spirit at salvation. There comes the experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which allows us to function boldly and effectively in the gifts of the Spirit. You see, it ushers us in to this experience of actively participating in supernatural expressions of the Spirit of God in our lives, and we become channels through which other people are blessed. You see, the gifts of the Spirit are not needed in heaven. You're not going to be healing any sick person in heaven. You don't need to work a miracle in heaven. Okay, it is here on earth that the gifts of the Spirit are needed. Why? Because the gifts of the Spirit were given to prophets with all. That is, they were given to meet the needs of people. And so God wants to meet people's needs through you supernaturally. Because if all God would be doing through you is to give people money and just, you know, give people food and just provide a source of income for people, then you're no different from an unbeliever, because an unbeliever can do the same. What God wants to do through you is to meet people's eternal need, which is to have a relationship with God, which is to reconcile people to God. Amen. Now, the first thing that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, does or did in the apostle was that, you know, it ushered them into a strong prayer life. You see, today we receive the Holy Spirit as salvation, okay? And, you know, then comes the, you know, the experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you see, we must understand that the first primary role of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to aid us in having an intimate relationship with God. Okay? And the Holy Spirit aids us to effectively minister for God and fulfill His purpose. Therefore, the Holy Spirit works first on us, works on our heart, works on our attitude, works on our character, works on our selfish ambitions, so that we can effectively function in God's purpose for our lives. And you see, like I mentioned earlier, the first thing that the baptism of the Holy Spirit accomplishes in our lives, you know, is a strong prayer life. And this is why the first gift of the Spirit manifested by the apostles was that they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance in Acts chapter 2. So the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 14 and verse 2, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 2, that anyone that speaks in tongues speaks unto God. And this is significant. And it's significant in that our lives as well, the Holy Spirit helps us to draw nearer to God in fellowship. And the next thing that you notice is that people were drawn to the apostles. Okay. And so as they began to pray and develop an intimate relationship with God, and as you begin to just fellowship and talk to God, God begins to bring people, and people will begin to be drawn to you. God will begin to drop, you know, matters about people in your heart. You just begin to have a passion to be a blessing to people, to share the word of God to people. And so God is going to create opportunities for you to be a blessing to people as we continue to grow in our walk with Him. And He begins to bring people around us, you know, and He begins to create opportunities for us to be a source of blessing to them. And you have to leverage on that opportunity that He brings and just go out there and let Him do the rest through you. Let Him just flow through you. Let Him just talk through you. Let Him just bless people through you. Okay? And you will be amazed. You will be amazed. I'm telling you now from experience, you'll be amazed at the kind of experiences that people will have by you just yielding, you know, to be a channel of blessing to other people. And this we see in Acts chapter 2 and how, you know, Peter, who was timid and denied Jesus three times, became bold and, you know, just had a strong prayer life. And then he became bold, you know, and he just began to talk and just talk. And he was just talking. And I believe that those utterances were inspired by the Spirit of God. And they were strong enough. Now, this is power. They were strong enough to get over 3,000 souls in that day. And when you go to Acts chapter 3, you find that that prayer life continues. The Bible says that he was on his way, you know, with John to the temple to pray. And then there was this man that was crippled, and they were able to make that man walk in the name of Jesus. Why? The power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost. See, our journey in purpose fulfillment may not be exactly like that of the apostles, you know, but it will follow this trend. It will follow this path. Salvation first. Next is an intimate relationship with God. Next is a strong prayer life. Next is being, you know, in the right company, or by extension, a right local church where you're growing and learning God's word and fellowship with other believers. And then next will come opportunities to be a blessing to other people in whatever capacity God has endowed you with. And so those opportunities will come, and you will be wise enough to take responsibility, maximize such opportunities like Peter did. So these opportunities can present themselves in your place of work, in your place of study, can present themselves in when you're walking on the streets, in when you're not doing your activities, when you're in conversations with people. God just wants to reach out to other people. God just wants to love other people through you. God just wants to show them his power and his kindness and his love and his awesomeness through you. And you just have to yield. Okay, sometimes when it comes to understanding and fulfilling God's purpose for your life, you don't have to understand the whole thing before starting out. He will just prompt you in your heart to do something. Just yield and do that. And by the time you look back at your life, you see that you have started fulfilling God's purpose for your life. So fulfilling God's purpose for your life really is a call. If you're a child of God, it's a call for you to yield to his voice in your heart. To yield to his voice in your heart. There's something in your that he has been telling you to do. There's something that he has been calling you to do about reaching out to other people and sharing his love to them. Just yield and let him handle the rest. And look at the result that you're gonna get. And so if you're saved, I want you to know that you cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit without being born again. And you cannot fulfill God's purpose for your life without the Holy Spirit. So what you need to do to be saved is to believe that Jesus died for your sins and was buried and rose up the third day for your justification. And this is the gospel. This is the gospel. If you believe and confess that he is your Lord and that he died for your sins, then you are saved. But if you're yet to be saved and you're listening to my voice right now, can you just say after me, Lord Jesus? And if you're here and you're listening to my voice right now, and you feel that, and you know that you're not saved, you know that you're not a child of God, and you would like to receive Jesus into your heart, and you would like to born again, can you just say this prayer with me? Just receive him into your heart now and say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins and resurrected the third day for my justification. I repent for my sins and confess you as my Lord. Therefore, all my sins have been blotted out, and the Holy Spirit now dwells in me. Amen. Congratulations. You are now a child of God, and you're on your way to fulfilling God's purpose for your life. Now, if you're under the sound of my voice, and you've always desired to experience the infilling of the baptism of the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you can receive that right now. You can receive that right now. The only requirement for you to begin to function in that gift is to be indwelt by the Spirit of God. And the requirement to be indwelt by the Spirit of God is for you to be born again. And so if you are indwelt by the Spirit of God, you have the capacity to pray to God in other tongues. Why? Because that ability is an ability of the Spirit of God, which is already in you. So if you have the Spirit of God in you, then you have that ability. You have that ability to begin to pray in other tongues and to minister healing to others and to minister and discern spirit. Okay. And work and give a word of knowledge and just be a blessing supernaturally to people around you. Okay. And if you're under the sound of my voice and right now you really desire to go ahead and just receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in tongues. I want you to know that you can. In fact, you can. In fact, you can. You really can. You can. You can walk in these gifts. You can right now receive the baptism of the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Okay? And I'd like you to just say after me, I believe that I am a child of God. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that I have eternal life. And because he rose again the third day, I rose again the third day. And so I have eternal life. And I have the Spirit of God in my heart. because I have the Spirit of God in me, I can pray with tongues. I can pray with tongues. And I will pray with tongues because I know that I can. And I will right now. I will right now. Go ahead and pray. And Avalos Kavaros, if you have touched Calabrica, no Banas, go Balasus. Go ahead and pray. Kingdom Bragadaskus, Omarian de la Brigade Balasus. Go ahead and pray in tongues. Gemandos, Duvalo Bragadaskus. Yes, the Spirit of God is on you right now. In a manos, go Barriatus, the Valiantos, go Brigade Balasus. If you already received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can join me now and pray. Mala Bragadava, Nandos, go Baliatus. I will fulfill God's purpose for my life. I will fulfill God's purpose for my life. Oh, glory to God. Man broko balasista vali nendos kabrahadaven rabadashtas. I am going to fulfill God's purpose for my life. In God's commandments, I'm going to recognize this and I'm going to fulfill it. Go ahead and pray, for the Bible says that he that prays in unknown tongues prays to God. For the understanding of man cannot perceive it. You know, your mind cannot perceive it. And so it doesn't have to make sense to your mind. Does it have to make sense to a human mind? Why? Because we base doctrinal beliefs on what we have given to us in scriptures, especially in the epistles. Okay. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you find better understanding about the concept and the use of the gifts, which is tongues. Okay. It edifies you. And praying tongues, it edifies you and it opens you up to be able to function better in other gifts of the Spirit. So go ahead and maximize just 2 minutes more and let us pray. Ina bragadava latos go bragadabatis. Eshta vaco don bragadados. Skilla bragadabalaco bragadabalasos. Eshta bragadava la bragadabenesuva. I have power. I have power by the Spirit of God to heal the sick. I have power by the Spirit of God to boldly book. Declare and preach the gospel. I see men saved. I see men filled with the Spirit of God. With the Spirit of God, I am empowered to preach the gospel. I am empowered to walk in fulfillment of God's purpose for me. I am glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you were blessed. If you would like to share your testimonies with us or request for counseling or prayers, or you have questions about what you just heard or other Christian subjects, or you just want to make more inquiries about Charisfolks, feel free to reach us through our website, charisfolks.org, or send in your email at hello@charisfolks.org. Jesus loves you.